Hey folks, it is Monday night, the 16th of January 2017, and you're listening to, I don't know what episode it is, of the AIH Superfans podcast. And what a lineup we have for you today, after the last week, which we're going to get into right away. But to start things off, we have the most positive crew of Jets fans that you'll ever find. Of course, I am your pal Slip. On Twitter, you can find me at Slip with five eyes or Slip.
Hi, everyone. It's RB underscore 18, and I'm having a good time right now.
So it's this is the most positive twosome that I think most of Twitter could ever imagine covering the Jets at this time, wouldn't you say?
I would say, but after this past week, I don't think they deserve much better than us right now.
By the way, this is episode 52. Pappy and Brian are pending to join us on the call, so we'll see if they join us. But let's get right into it. Now, the Jets played this afternoon against San Jose. It was Martin Luther King Day in the United States, so a lot of teams had afternoon games because the U.S. is off of work. So I'm assuming that you were probably at work today?
I was. I was following along on Twitter and then listened to the second period on the car ride home.
Okay. I was at work here in Toronto and I listened to a little bit while I was working. I tried to actually get the feed at my office, but I don't know why they don't invest in internet that'll allow me to stream hockey games when I'm supposed to be working. But
what's wrong with that? That's just poor management.
Yeah, really. Like, no priorities in this company.
We're well aware of what poor management looks like, by the way.
I'm going to go talk to HR tomorrow and we'll get this fixed. But, yeah, so the Jets lose 5-2 to San Jose and, pardon me?
No, I was going to say with two goals in absolute garbage time.
Oh yeah, it was garbage time. Oh,
no.
Hey, look who's here.
Happy.
Hey.
Glad you could join us this time. You didn't pass out on the couch?
No, I didn't. I was about to, but.
You're like, then you had dreams of the game today and it woke you up? Nightmares, I guess? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I guess so.
We were just starting off here. So 5-2 loss. The Jets scored two goals. Yes, they were about as garbage as you could get. I believe they were scored in, what, the last 3 minutes of the game?
Yep. Mm-hmm. So Shifley piled up another 2 points when they didn't matter.
That's good. So my favorite highlights, I did see a couple of highlights from the game because people are kind enough to post things that are lovely, and I believe that my favorite highlight of the game would have been that Mark Stewart hit, which was a magnificent hit that led to the Jets gaining momentum and trying to catch up, right?
Yeah, the best part of that was I had just gotten off work, and I heard on the radio that they scored on the breakaway, so I was waiting for the animated GIF to show up, and the one that I saw was TSN Jets, and the camera, they had no idea that San Jose went down and scored. The camera was locked on Stewart standing over Ward, and all of a sudden the little red light goes off and San Jose scored, and TSN Jets had no clue what was happening. It was just the most Jets play of it encapsulates the past 6 years. All they needed was Pavlik to do something stupid.
What's worse though is I didn't hear it. But what's worse is what's his face? Trevor Kidd.
Oh, Trevor Kidd.
No,
what's Bayek?
Trevor Kidd. No, but Trevor Kidd in the post game was blamed Postma for the goal. That's worse.
Oh, Jesus, I know
it was Postma's responsibility to take up the slack because Stewart was up ice making an ill-advised hit. But
he made that at their own blue line. Like he didn't even, or sorry, on the offensive blue line.
Like he always does. He always stands somebody up on the offensive blue line. Always. Of that bad pinch, the ill-advised pinch, the ill-advised hit at the line.
Well, no, most of the time at their own blue line. This one, he was the other guy had a breakaway from center ice.
Yeah.
It's just the...
What I thought was funny was, like, yeah, they focused in on that hit. Meanwhile, in the long shot, right before they focus right in on the hit, you clearly see the San Jose player going off on a breakaway. And you're like, that would be interesting to see.
Yep.
And then there's the shot of the guy getting up and Stewart standing there, and Matthias comes into the play. And all of a sudden, the crowd is cheering, and they act like, big hit by Stewart, blah, 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 blah. San Jose scores!
And they score.
Yeah, it was pretty rotten. Also, there was a shorthanded goal, I believe, by Joel Ward in the first period.
Yes, there was.
And while we didn't get a bad goal by Pavlik, the one that Hutch let in, what, off the backboards in his leg?
Yeah, he kicked it in by accident, yeah.
Yeah,
that was pretty bad.
So we kind of got the whole kit and caboodle today, didn't we?
I saw the highlights. That's all I needed to see. They were out of the game after 40. I guess we're going to talk about how the past week went. But the other interesting thing that apparently they didn't talk about on the telecast until the third period, but they did talk about on the radio, was that during a TV timeout in the second period, Maurice took off his glasses and lit them up at the bench again.
I don't think they're listening anymore, though.
Well, I know, but like, when's the last time a coach has done this? Like twice in a calendar week.
Yeah,
and gotten no response out of them.
I mean, I guess at this point, it's like, what the fuck does he do? Like, if he doesn't get fired, maybe he'll just resign. It's like, fuck this team.
Ugh, I don't know.
Because seriously, the first time that he does it, you're like, holy shit, right? And then I heard about that today, and it was just like, all right, like, what does it mean now?
Yeah.
Like, losing your
team. Nothing.
Like, what's happened? Like, when was that? That was during the Montreal game.
It was, yeah.
Since our last podcast, they shut out Calgary at home to give... that was Hellebuck, by the way, with the shutout in that game. And then after that, they got just pumped at home to Montreal, which led to Maurice's first tirade. They got embarrassed in Arizona. Arizona got shut out the last game. They're being shut out tonight in Edmonton, but they put four by the Jets in the first period in that game.
Yes, they did.
They got a point out of LA and almost got nothing if Kyle Clifford didn't ring one off of both posts with 3 minutes left.
Yep.
They hit five posts.
Yeah.
The Kings hit five posts, yeah.
They got 3 points out of the past five games.
They sure did. And if you count the Buffalo game that we covered last podcast too, then it's 3 points out of six games. It's
right.
That's
3 points out of the past five games with the Buffalo game.
The Buffalo game. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, you got six. You've only got...
Oh, it was.
They lost to Buffalo, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they got 2 points on Calgary, they got one with LA, that's it. Technically, they were 1-4-1, so congratulations.
And they lost Liney in that game, too.
Yeah. Yes.
And what did they do this week? They had Maurice blow up on the bench twice. They had a players-only meeting, of which Wheeler was very terse with the media after. And then the coach called a meeting the day of the LA game on the back-to-back.
This is the same old shit though. Like, this is the same old shit, different Paul. We got the same main players. Like, I was tweeting about this earlier. The continuity with this organization from day one to now is astounding for a team that's made the playoffs 1 year out of now six. It's astounding how much continuity there is. We still have the same defensive coach, right? We still have the same goalie coach. We promoted the other assistant coach that was in charge of special teams to the coach of our minor league team. Like, everything just keeps rolling and rolling. We have the same core. The only time we've gotten rid of anybody in the core was Chevy was forced to make a trade, and Andrew Ladd was expiring. So, you know what? Everybody stayed the same. This core is exactly the same. The nucleus of this organization is exactly the same from when they first came here as the Atlanta Thrashers.
Well,
what organization in the NHL that has been as futile as the Winnipeg Jets have exactly almost the same personnel intact in coaching and management? Name one.
I can't.
No, it's true. 6 years. This is the sixth year. They're not making the playoffs. Like, this is, we're now sixth year. So we're now talking about we're going into 7 years. Into seven years searching for a playoff win. Again, like I always thought that when 5 year plan was being talked about, the idea was that this would be a contender in 5 years. And we're not even halfway there to being a top team.
Nope. Well,
Around the league, though. Look around the league. Look at what the Toronto Maple Leafs did. They came to the brink of eliminating the Boston Bruins that one playoff season, right? And they tore everything down from that team. Everything. Like, who's left from that team that plays on that Maple Leafs team right now? They tore it down.
Literally, they got five. I think, like, well, Tyler Back and a couple other guys.
Exactly. And you know what? They tore everything down. They came in last in the league. And they're going to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
In the span of three seasons. When did Shanahan start? Like 2.5 years ago?
Yep. And they did it by, what did they do? They sold all of their veterans for multiple draft picks, right? Like more lottery tickets. They took on horrible contracts to make it happen. They flexed their financial muscle and buried their those contracts in the minors. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Jets are burying their bad contracts in the minors too, but that's because they signed them to them. they did it right. Like, the Jets this year were supposed to be so young and, you know, so many rookies, and yeah, they're second in the league with, you know, rookie points with what, 58 or something. And that's thanks to Patrick Laine. Toronto has over 100 more points from their rookies. You have 8 of them and they're all awesome.
And they're right in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're on pace to be what, second in their division. Like, they're not even in the wild card mix. They're in the mix for, you know, top two in their entire division.
And so when they talk about, well, it's a youth movement, what did you expect? It's like, well, I see other youth movements going strong. And didn't we have the best prospect pool?
Well, the youth isn't the problem, though. Like, do you really think the youth is a problem on this team?
Some of them.
I mean, honestly, right now in net it is. Right?
I have a hard time stomaching that because Hellebuck had two horrid, horrid games to fall to Andrei Pavlik's career.
Yeah, but I'm you know, we'll get to the Pavlik talk. I mean, clearly, Pavlik that is not the solution. Like, let's, you know, I'll say that now. But right now, we're not getting it from our goaltending at all. And Hellebuck is supposed to be the lead dog there. And he's, you know, if he's near what Pavlik was doing, then it's not good enough.
Right. But to me, the way Hellebuck's handled this situation, the way he's struggling this year, I think it all points to coaching, because this kid has succeeded at every level up until this point. He succeeded his first 20 games in the NHL.
But I agree with you. But the fact still remains that the goaltending isn't, for whatever reason. Well, if it's Flaherty, then it's Flaherty. But for whatever reason right now, we're not getting the goaltending, right? And it's from a young goaltender.
Right.
Can I just interrupt for one?
Yeah.
Alex Burmistrov just got a power play assist in Arizona's in his debut tonight. Just saying.
news flash. We should have... I should get the sound effects back on the show, and we should do news flashes whenever, like, Stempniak, Frolik, Burmistrov, Kane get points. but you're right, like, you know, the young core that's coming up. I mean, Ehlers has been great, Liney has been great, Scheifele has been great, right? Truba
Scheifele has piled up some points, but I don't know how many more goals he scored than been standing around in the D zone,
and he's slowed down a lot.
Well, no, seriously. Like,
he's playing hurt, though. He's playing hurt. Yeah. He's got a hamstring situation. He doesn't have that burst anymore. He was very impressive the first couple weeks of the season, for sure. Like, that line dominated. I don't want to take anything away from Scheifele, because he was performing in non-garbage time too, right? So he was at the top of the league for points and everything until he got hurt. So Let's not dump on him too much. But
I don't think
it's the youth that's the problem, though.
I'm not saying it's the problem. I'm just saying, you know, if the Leafs can do it with the youth and we're supposed to have the best prospect pool in the league, why hasn't it boosted us even more?
They also have Babcock as a coach, right?
Yeah, and that helps a ton.
we talk about that, but like the other youth on our team, like Lowry, what has he done? What has Kopp done? What has Tanev done? He's down in the minors. He's in the press box right now. Like, it's just more of the same. Armia has 6 career goals. Yeah, he's possession okay, but they can't fill the net. How is Toronto's kids are filling the net on even their third line is doing it.
But it's all about the system, though. Like, I mean, what was the stat that was there today? The Jets are third for percentage dump-ins in the league?
Yeah.
That's atrocious. That's on the power play.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, it's a system. It's all about the coaching. It's everything. Everything that's implemented. Obviously, neither coach that has been in control of the Jets has had control of the room. Like, it's obvious. Like, how do you explain the lack of consistent effort from the core, right? Number one. How do you explain the undisciplined play by the veterans, right? It's not the youth that are taking stupid ozone penalties. Like, be real, there's a problem here with leadership and the direction that this team is going and the lack of an effective system. Like, I'm sorry, but Paul Maurice is not an elite coach. He's not even close to above average coach.
So my question, of course, as always, is whose job is it to generally manage this team?
Well, yeah.
Just curious.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, the local media are already sort of sowing the seed of seeing Pavlik called up for Wednesday's game.
Mm-hmm.
Which is totally preposterous. Preposterous.
Well, what they're going to do is they're going to park Hutchinson in the press box and keep his contract. I mean,
they're going to be the only team in how many years to carry 3 goalies? Is that it?
Probably since Jets 1.0.
Oh my god!
I think the Islanders were carrying 3 earlier until they sent Halak down. But to be fair, what did Chevy do today? Like, what? Seriously, what has he done the past 6 years? Like, this is at some point. Like, it's interesting. I mean, the media and a lot of even like some bright eyed Jets fans are starting to be like, what's going on? Yet it's Hutch and Hellebuck, or it's Maurice. Chevy still rarely gets brought up in any of these conversations, and I just don't understand what less could possibly happen. Like, they're doing nothing. How can they do less?
I mean,
in order for him to get an ill word mentioned about him by some people.
You can point at when you point at the roster of this team. You can point at the draft picks and go, those are pretty good. But you get those given to you, right? Like, you receive draft picks, and I know a couple of them he gained through trades that he didn't... Those trades were not as much done to enhance the team. It was more so to deal with an issue, like, and not lose something for nothing. And again, the returns were fine. But other than those players that he's drafted, which player on this team can you point to and say... There's a value add that Chevy has really given to this team that's making a difference. I mean, the top one is probably Perreault, and that's not good enough.
His 4 goals here aren't good enough. And
yeah,
like,
he's not having a great year.
And his extension kicks in next year.
Yeah. I just, you know, Chevy, at some point, you've got to say, like, this mix isn't doing it. And I get it. You know, I tweeted a few things in the last week. One was that he's done a great job of assembling talent. Everybody agrees. And these aren't stupid people who are, you know, league scouts and, you know, experts in the NHL or in the media that cover it. But they're not winners.
No, they're not winners together. And you've got to piss or get off the puck. Like, right now, Little's nearing expiration. Wheeler's nearing expiration. Now, does he have the sack and wherewithal to use these assets and bring some really hefty return back, because what can we get back for these guys? Like, what can we get back from a contender? I don't know. Like, as much as I love Brian Little, and as much as Blake Wheeler is a great player, honestly, this mix of players is not working. It hasn't worked since we've been here. The main core guys of the Atlanta Thrashers are still here. Bogosian wasn't part of that. He was younger. Kane wasn't part of that. He was younger. The only person that's left from that core is Andrew Ladd. Now, nothing's worked. Every year, it's the same thing.
It's not even the same thing.
No, well, the only year that they made the playoffs, Hutch went on a run and saved Pavlik's ass, and they injected veteran NHLers into the bottom six.
And since that point, if this year keeps going like it is, and we're like last year, that's 2 years in a row where these are worse years than what the Atlanta team had before they came to Winnipeg.
No.
We are now worse than where we started.
And they're playing a boring brand of hockey. Low event, boring, losing hockey.
And again, it's like, who is responsible for this? You know, I get it. I agree with things like the coach isn't good enough, and all the coaches aren't good enough for sure. And right now we don't have the right goaltender, and the solution that everybody's talking about has been a fuck up for 5 years, and the leadership team isn't good enough. But it's like, these guys can't trade themselves. They can't fire themselves. They can't. Somebody has to take care of that. And right now, you know, Chevy's sitting there and watching this team wallow for another long stretch this season. Like, this isn't 5-game losing streak bad, but it's pretty damn close. And in some ways, this is even worse because, like, you know, the Buffalo loss was a very bad loss. The Montreal loss was hideous. The Arizona loss was bad. Today's loss was horrible. It's not like they're competing and it's exciting and something, you know, it's a slip on the banana peel and just, you know, haphazardly losing a game because of a bad luck or a bad bounce or you're close. Like, they're not even competitive.
They're losing badly. Like, being severely outplayed. You know, Saturday was better, but they still got outshot. They still got outworked. They still got outscored. Like,
yeah, and it's the same thing, they were down, 4-1 to Arizona, and they got close. They got it to 4-3 late. Today, they scored 2 late. It's like, well, when you guys are down 3 or 4 goals with 5 minutes to go...
Score effects, right?
Like, how did you get there? I don't care about Scheifele's 2 points today. I mean, good for him, but they didn't matter. They don't matter. But, you know, at the end of the year, though, they're going to point at his points total and say, you know, he had a really good year. Well, okay.
It's funny because I was listening to the pregame, well, some of it before, during work while I was driving around in the car, and Edmonds was like, the problem hasn't been goal scoring. It's been allowing goals. Well, how many goals have these guys scored in the first two periods of the last week?
Exactly. So, And it is goal scoring. I mean, I tweeted about it earlier, but outside of Scheifele, Laine, Ehlers, Wheeler, and Byfuglien, no one else has over 20 points. Like, those five are way up there, but no one else is anywhere. I mean, Stafford has, 4 goals? Perreault has 4 goals. Little was hurt and is really not scoring. I mean, he's looking nice out there, but he's not producing. Like, this team is, when healthy, I guess they have a bunch of top six forwards, but they're either A, not healthy, or B, not producing to match with their underlying numbers. But that bottom six is still terrible. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not impressed with that Armia, Matthias, whoever else is on that line. Who else is there?
Cop?
I don't even know.
Cop?
No, Lowry. Lowry's terrible.
Lowry.
Thorburn?
Oh, yeah, no, yeah.
So things don't look much rosier schedule-wise either. On Wednesday, the Coyotes are in town. That should be a winnable game, of course, coming off a loss a few days ago. And then we have in 3 games in 4 nights again, all at home, St. Louis Blues, Anaheim Ducks, San Jose Sharks.
Hey-o.
Then on the road in Chicago, Then they have the All-Star break, and they come back, and they have the St. Louis Blues on the road.
The season could be over after this weekend.
It's over.
No, no, but I mean...
Well, it's interesting. Like, over.
Well,
they're still third last in the league in points percentage. Like, they've played five more games than some teams that are behind them. Like, Buffalo won today and the Islanders won today. They're, what, a point or two back? But they each have, like, five games in hand. Like, they are legit in the basement. And they have just as many, they're third to Arizona and Colorado for regulation losses. They already have 23 this year. The season's barely half over, and they have 23 regulation losses.
I'm just pulling up the, what are we at right now? So after today, 47 games played, 20 wins, 23 losses, 4 overtime losses. So you're basically 20-27.
But they're not getting to overtime, though. Like, the 23 regulation losses already is astounding. Like, no one else has over 20, I don't think.
Well, no, Arizona, you know, Arizona and Colorado.
Oh, that's what I said, like, other than those two. I mean, but those two they've already said that we're selling, like, the, what do you want, 3 years?
Yeah.
It's pretty sad that the team that you're playing against, the goalie, even if you would have won the game today, you would have been 2 games behind him for wins on the season. And you've played... How many more games have they played than the Sharks in total?
3.
3. And Martin Jones is already at like 23 wins. And we're at 20 as a team. It's sad.
But they already had, like... It's a fool's errand to think they even have a chance, and I'm so sick of this narrative of them. You know, they're still in the race. Like, they're really not. Like, 10 more regulation losses, and they're at 34 losses. Like, that's they have another, what, 40 games to go? They're at 47, so
47.
35 games left. Like, yep. They can only lose like 10 or 12 more games in regulation.
Well, and we'll start figuring out how many that is because it's about the time for the hashtag golfing in April report to start up again.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, look at it this way, and you're talking about points per game, but you can just look at the winning percentage too, third last in the league. Fourth last is Dallas at 489. There are only 4 teams in the league that have under 500 in terms of, and again, actually, is that, no, I think that's fake 500.
Yeah, that's fake 500.
That's still a fake 500, and the Jets are still under fake 500, and there are 4 teams that are there. And there we are. But again, year 6. And year 6, it's as bad as it's been. And the solution that everybody says, well, you may as well try it, you need something, is Andre fucking Pavlik.
Ugh. And they've been sowing this seed for a couple weeks now. Like, I've been retweeting all of the media guys talking about how good he's been for the Moose with the call him up in all caps because I'm clearly not serious. But now I am. Do it. Call him up. Like, literally throw in the towel. Show everybody you have no idea what you're doing and that your plan this year to bring the kids along was a failure, just like all the rest of them. Like, it's embarrassing.
I'm sorry, I agree. I just like the venom in your voice.
He stopped 42 or 43 the other night in an AHL game. Who cares? His numbers are still below what Hutch and Hellebuck had in the minors. And how are they doing in the show? How was Pavlik in the show? Horrible. Like, but, I mean, like, yeah, like, Lawless today and Mike McIntyre on the Free Press, who is somehow doing Jet stuff. I mean, I really like his Law and Order stuff, but do they have no one else working there anymore? they're both so seeds of, don't be surprised, the team called up for Wednesday against Arizona. And it's to the point now where I'm not even kidding. Just do it. Just make a mockery of the season. Like,
bring up Tony P to win some fights. Bring in Andre to Andre.
You know what? I mean, I'd like to say whatever escalates them making a change to the management of the team. The problem is it won't fucking happen, and it's crazy.
Well, the management won't change. The head coach will, but the assistants will stay. Fuck. It's going to be fucking awesome.
Ugh. Well, and that's what bothers me, too, is that, I mean, I won't lie. I've been cheering against the Jets for a couple of years now. You clearly know this. But the reason I want it is because this group is not currently constructed well from top to bottom. You know, the line I'm using right now is they are less than the sum of their parts. I don't care how much talent there is on this team. They clearly don't fit together. And the system isn't working. And they're boring. And the ticket resale market is super low right now. Like, where's the positivity?
You know, I was surprised.
By the way, I just have to say, I like the podcast where Ryan asks, where's the positivity?
Well, no, but anywhere. Like, I mean, I was saying before we started recording, even a bunch of Team Chevy members and, like, just sort of, you know, always on the bright side of life folks are going, what's going on? Like, it's to the point now where all they can say is, you know, there's always next year, or there's, you know, they're young. There's a lot of young talent. Well, they clearly don't fit together. And I don't trust this management group to get it right going forward. I haven't in years.
By the way,
I'm cheering against them so that changes happen. I want them to win. They are not. And they're boring to watch.
By the way, you'd mentioned the ticket resale market. So I just drew up StubHub just to give you some examples. And I've never really seen this before. Monday's game, Anaheim Ducks at Winnipeg Jets. Tickets from $25 US, still 25. Winnipeg Jets at Colorado Avalanche, Saturday, February 3rd. Tickets starting at $23 US. That's at Toronto Maple Leafs. So that, if it was the other way around, I would have been really, but yeah, like there's, you know, even the Arizona game right now is at $40. San Jose at Winnipeg is $35. Like this isn't a hot ticket.
No, and I've made mention of it too, but they're really pushing ads for the seat exchange.
Not just
on the radio, but there's billboards all over town. Like they, the resale market is where it's at now.
They're the crap. You know, those radio spots are the crappiest.
Oh, they're all
commercials.
Please
take care of my seats while you're there.
Yeah.
What's funny though is there's some sentiment happening in the media, like negative towards True North right now too. I was surprised to hear Wisik on HNL today mention how the Jets are loyal to a really big fault. It is surprising for me to hear that. Like, of course, Lawless tried to shill a bit, but it's surprising. He's saying that the Jets are loyal to a fault. And some heads should be rolling, but they won't. Is basically the gist of what he was saying. So, you know.
If they manage to, like, if you have season tickets, like I know, Arby, you have. Yep. By the way, there's a lot. Like not like thousands, obviously, but I'm on Seat Exchange now, and there's tickets for all sections. Ultimately, though, by looking at these prices, like once upon a time, you were like, hey, if I don't go to a game, I will no doubt make my money back. I can even profit off these tickets. And that's going to mean something down the road for season ticket holders.
Well, and on Seat Exchange, and I know this because I haven't been to a game since October, and I've sold every single ticket I can, mostly on StubHub because that's the only way to ask for less. On Seat Exchange, you can only ask what you can only post them for what True North suggests, and it's full pop.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So everything is lovely, and I you know what? I've just because I like the circus, and I've said it the last couple of podcasts. That's the only reason to bring Pavlik up is because I'll have a field day with it. It'll be funny, and I may as well take something that makes me happy with this team right now.
And yep. he's gonna get hot, and the Jets are gonna finish just out of the playoffs and get a shitty pick.
That's good, then they'll re-sign him, and then that'd be fantastic. Why not?
Oh my gosh, can you imagine?
I can imagine.
I can too. Yeah.
We gotta slow down though, because if we keep talking this way, the Jets might leave tomorrow.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah. Well, but just don't. You know, it's okay though if I tell Blake Wheeler he's a piece of shit. So.
Why did you buy him lunch later?
Yeah. Hugs and kisses, Jets. Hugs and kisses. I wrote a couple of topics down, but in our various rants, we basically got through everything. So, before I go to ask the super fans, is there anything else you guys want to talk about or mention?
Any word on Liney? Anybody hearing anything about his progress?
I saw something on the boards today. Some Finnish reporter thought he'd be doing some non-contact skating soon, but I haven't seen that verified. So other than that, no.
It's a little concerning because it's a first-time concussion and it's taking this long to... Mind you, that was a devastating hit, but...
Right. Actually, do you know what's interesting about all of this, about the Jets, is how bad they are this year? Did you see their record when Laine scores a goal this year?
No.
Versus he doesn't? It was in the Free Press today. So they were something like 12-3 when he scores a goal.
That's crazy.
And like 7-17-5, now 7-18-5 without him scoring a goal. And they lucked into him. In the lottery, and they're still terrible even with him.
I know, it's true.
I tweeted it last night. Could you imagine this current group with Pierre-Luc Dubois or Olli Juolevi in junior right now? What would they be, 29th or 30th instead of 28th?
What's even more retarded is the fact that they were so hesitant to put him on the first power play unit knowing this. Like, honestly, your winning percentage is 750 when this guy fucking scores. But hey, let's roll out Drew Stafford on the first unit power play before him. Fuck.
Well, yeah, and Maurice said today before the game started, he was asked what it's like to not have him in the lineup. Are they missing him? And he's like, yeah, we are. And it might just be because whenever the puck's on his stick, everyone on the bench thinks that there's a chance it's going in. And he's like, now that, and I'm like, well, what does that tell you about the other 22 in the lineup? But
he's also better than Matthews, so that's also
important. God.
You know, I said yesterday, like, very realistically, you know, Patrick Laine is a wonderful, amazing hockey talent, and he was, you know, he was exactly right to have been picked at number two. Like, the Jets made a really great decision picking him at number two because he's far and away the better player compared to three and below in that draft. Right?
Yep. Yeah, Laine is a great hockey player.
Yeah.
But do you know who's a better hockey player off the bat?
I was just hinting at it, Ryan. You didn't have to say it.
I know. I just don't understand how everything has to be so rosy about every single Jets player in order for you to be considered a true fan. I don't know.
And I mean, it's not like we're trolling by saying this. We're actually like going by factual information that's in front of us. Who's the better goal scorer, Laine or Austin Matthews?
Right now or overall?
Overall.
Oh. I would say he's probably the better sniper, goal finisher.
I mean, he seems to have the better shot. He's the better weapon on the power play. He's the cannon that you want to load up.
Yep.
But is he the better player? No, he's not.
No, he's not.
And it's okay to say that. It's okay to say, like, if you're a Washington fan, that Sidney Crosby's better than Alex Ovechkin. It's okay. It's okay.
And
it's okay.
Yeah, it's
you're not going to lose your fan card because you said Austin Matthews is a better player. Because
some would strip you of that.
Well, the truth is, if we would have won the lottery and had the number one pick and we picked Austin Matthews, it would be no question, right? It doesn't fucking matter. Exactly. If we picked third and we picked whoever it was, that player would be the best player in the league right now. So it doesn't really fucking matter.
Austin Matthews is the number one center on a team that is firmly in a playoff spot right now. They are 12th overall in the league as of right now in terms of point percentage.
And 12th.
They were 30th last year, right? All year long.
And he kept pace with Patrick Laine playing primarily third line minutes at the beginning of the year.
With two rookies.
Exactly. Yeah. He wasn't pushed to the forefront like Laine was on this team. Well, the thing is, on this team, it was out of necessity that they had to put him out there, right? So, it's bullshit. It's bullshit. Austin Matthews is a better player. That's it. And I love the Winnipeg Jets. You can have it both ways, losers. Fuck, like, get it.
I Laine is probably the most talented player on our team.
Absolutely he is.
And if we had Austin Matthews, he'd be even more talented. Then that's fine. That's okay.
It's okay. I get it. I'm having a Twitter discussion right now as we're recording with somebody who loves Ryan Little, Blake Wheeler, Dustin Byfuglien, Toby Anderson. Like, I mean, loves the core. Like, they're loyal to the core. But honestly, you got to be able to step back and say, yeah, maybe we'd be better off if we got rid of one or two pieces and got younger and got everybody around the same age group as our young core right now. Like, that's the only way to do it. We got to build a team that can grow together and stay together for a longer period of time. Look at how scary the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Edmonton Oilers are going to be for the next 3 or 4 years. It's pretty fucking scary.
Well, and I mean, again, like, other teams aren't not drafting either.
Right. Well, Buffalo too. Buffalo's got a young
Buffalo. Core. I mean, they're still, even though they're playing poorly this year, the Arizona Coyotes have a ton of great prospects, right? Like, high end prospects. And fucking, Tampa Bay. I don't know if everyone will translate into NHL, but everybody who's leading in terms of, like, points in so many of the junior leagues are all Tampa Bay prospects.
Yep.
So look at what Columbus did with the dog they had with Johansson demanding a trade last year. Look what they've turned around this year. Like, every team has a capable GM to make these moves.
Yeah, every team drafts and every team develops. Just some develop more poorly. I mean, have you seen the Moose record lately? They've just broke a 5-game losing streak. They're way under 500 in the basement of their division. And their blue line is a tire fire. There is no one in the pipeline. Like, why? Yeah, the Jets have drafted well, but they're clearly not developed. There's something amiss here, organization-wide. And
the emphasis has clearly been up front. And we have no defensive depth whatsoever. And that's a clear flaw. It's a clear flaw. And you don't even look at signing or augmenting the lineup with any of the free agents that were available or anything. So, I don't know. But you know what? You never know. We don't know what happens in that office. We don't know what they've tried. So
yeah, well, we can only judge them on their results, and they suck.
Just keep cheering, guys, so that they stick around.
Don't leave us.
Yeah,
it's a process.
All right, let's do some Ask the Superfans. We've got a few out there. We only put this out like 5 minutes before we started, but we have a few. Some from yesterday too. One from friend of the show Reese Smilski, who is out here in the GTA, but actually came and met up with me and Phil when we were at the Buffalo game. So hello, Reese.
Hi. Cool.
He says, "Who's closest to the downside of their career? Enstrom, Wheeler, Little, Byfuglien." And he says also, "I wish it was none of them."
Hmm. Well, and that's the interesting thing is, before I answer that question, everyone keeps saying that the Jets are young and that their young players are going to improve. Well, time works in two different ways. The young players get older and better, and the older players get older and worse. And yeah, that's what's happening right now. The answer to that question, I don't know. I think Toby. There's unconfirmed reports that he has some bad knees. He used to be, like, he was performing at some elite offensive numbers when he showed up here, and now he's just a really, really good defender.
And puck mover, right? But
I love Toby, but he's not piling up the assists like he was. And I'm also concerned about Buff. Like, I said for years before this ever happened and before he resigned that, yeah, he's, what, 30, but his knees are probably 50. Like, that's a lot of weight on those bad boys.
Yeah.
And as much as I love Buff, we've seen a lot of bad Buff this year.
Yeah, and Wheeler and Little have been good. Like, I mean, Little produced when he was injected into the lineup. I think their games haven't dropped off as bad as.
I mean, I wouldn't say dropped off, and I don't think necessarily we're talking about career downside, but over a shorter sample size, which is the first half of the season, I'd argue that all four of those guys aren't performing as well as they were even last year.
Yeah, yeah, right. Wheeler was top 10 in the league last year, and we wasted that season.
I mean, Little is hurt, so there's that. And, you know, Bufflin's offensive numbers aren't too bad, but you're right. Like, there's too many bad things happening out there.
Well, that Danault goal, like, come on. That
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
I can't believe he didn't get benched for that. Like, he completely gave, like, a magician on that one. Like, just magic wand, poof, he's gone.
He gave up the middle and he skated towards the guy coming at full speed. Like, it's just whatever.
So, by the way, what is our answer to this question? Who is closest to the downside at this point? I think I'm going to go with Little, and I think it's just injuries.
Well, see, I think Toby also due to injuries.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say it's Toby.
All right, you guys win. 2-1.
Yay!
you did something that the Jets didn't do today. You won.
Uh-huh.
Number one Nick Antropov fan at Hockey Lake 72. Alex Burmistrov just got his first assist as Coyote. MVP candidate?
Oh. If Burmy comes into town on Wednesday and Pavlik's in net and Burmistrov scores, honestly, could you imagine?
He's gonna get a chance with Phoenix. Like, he's going to get top 6 minutes, and they're gonna try him out. They got nothing to lose, so
yeah. You know what? He's on the second line playing with Radim Vrbata, and he assisted on his goal in the power play. He's gonna get top 6 and power
and,
play. Like, he's on the first power play unit he practiced with today. Like, they see something in him, and
Watch him be a point per game player.
I don't even care about that. I just want him to play. Like, he's better than a bunch of the guys in the bottom six of the Winnipeg Jets. I don't care what anybody says. He has some talent. I don't know, did he quit here? I would have. He was treated just like garbage since he's been here.
From the top down too, though, right? Like,
yeah.
From the top down.
Someone asked a question on January 11th, and it was Jetsis Gripes, at Jetsis underscore Gripes. The process is almost complete. Shall I lift Purgatory? CC's a Sad Sack Jets fan, and I just wanted to note, Sacky's committed to not coming to Twitter again until the Jets win 3 in a row. We may never see him again.
He may as well delete his account.
Pappy, can you confirm if you can confirm or deny that he's probably out there with some other account name?
No, he's not on any other account name.
No, so
he's not tweeting publicly, just put it that way. So
let's see, what else do we have here? Big Al at Allen, A-L-L-A-N. That's the wrong way to spell that, by the way. 5-0-O-H is asking, what should I do with my signed pro Liney home jersey? Frame it or wear it to games?
If it's signed, I'd frame it.
And it's
Liney and Perot?
No, just Liney.
Oh, Liney.
Signed pro Liney.
Oh, they said Perot, and I was going to be like, Liney and Perot, you should probably like bubble wrap it so they don't get hurt.
He got that jersey with his Jets points, by the way.
Oh yeah. I don't know. Frame it.
I'd frame it.
I guess he chose that over the the time with Chevy. There's an opportunity to buy time with Chevy with your Jets points.
Could you imagine how big of a waste?
You know what? I'll call it a contest idea. I don't know if we can drum up a prize. By the way, Pappy, if you can find us a sponsor, that'd be really great.
I think we bought one.
I'll
share that with you next week.
Sure. But how about we do this as a contest, for people out there? Tweet us for the next show and tell us what Jets rewards prizes you think the team should be giving people.
Oh, I like that.
So yeah, tell us those, and you can still just use the hashtag #AskTheSuperFans, and we will. I'll put a tweet out too, but we'll read them on the next show.
Do we offer any today, or should we wait for the next show?
We offer up some ideas.
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking, mine's not great. The one I was thinking of was a signed pair of Chris Thorburn gloves.
Okay. You can get those, I think you can get those at Jets Gear already. Maybe not signed, but they have a bunch of used
game
gear.
They have the game worn stuff at the Jets
Gear. I was going to say, how about a signed Chevy Muskoka chair?
How about a signed Andre Pavlik beer bottle?
how about an authentic game chewed piece of Paul Maurice's gum?
Well, there you go.
All right. Or some of his glasses that he breaks. Has he broken any yet, or maybe that's why he takes them off? Smart man.
All right, so yeah, get your ideas in, folks, and we'll I'm sure you can beat all of us. But you've got a week to figure it out, and we'd love to hear your ideas. The only other one I think that we have is friend of the show Harrison Lee at HL Living Loco. Why do the Jets jerts?
Because Chevy Chevs.
Because this team is fueled by nepotism / loyalty. I don't know. I'm fresh out of ideas how that the status quo is still acceptable here.
It's process before progress.
But no. The process is not producing current results, and I'm not optimistic about their future results. Like, Logan Stanley does not do much for me.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, he scored
Logan Stanley.
On national TV, good for him.
He's big. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at a DM thread that may or may not exist, and just seeing someone asking a question. Hi, we're big fans. Can you give the Legion of Gloom a shout out? there we go. All right. So, I guess that's it. Any last comments before we leave this happy podcast this week?
Stay positive. Trust the process.
Oh.
Fueled by passion.
Cheer the team. You want a team? Cheer for them. Don't be a dirt.
Don't let things go down like 1.0, because it's because of trolls like us that they left.
I know. Fucking 1996 Twitter was ablazing. Yeah.
Was it IIRC or what? What was the messaging?
Fucking BBM.
BBM wasn't even around in 1996.
AOL online, like
seriously. AOL. It might have been AOL or remember IIRC.
Yep. And fucking what's the other one? ICQ.
ICQ. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Before you type out the frowny face.
I'm dating myself, but my first email address I got in my first year of university, so that shows you how old I am.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah, man. They had emails back in the 80s.
It wasn't that bad. 1992.
All right.
I took the hardest 3 credit hours of my life, intro to computers.
Oh yeah.
and now we have you, like, now you're on Twitter, and we have your everybody to thank for that.
Hot take machine.
All right, folks. So go to arcticicehockey.com for more of this wonderful team and coverage. And until next time, we are your super fan pals. I am Alan. On Twitter, you can find me at Slip with the Five Eyes or Slip.
I'm Ryan, also known as RB_18. And call up Pavlik.
I'm Roddy, and that's Big Pappy Peg City. And stay positive, people.
And we will see you all in a week. Go Jets, go, I guess.
On church, on.
Where are they going? I couldn't tell you, but go Jets, go.
Bye, everyone.